everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Will we get sound this time? I didn't have sound. Now I have to refresh multiple times. Odyssey is showing me the old version with no sound. Is anyone receiving us right now? How can it be so hard to start a stream on a fucking streaming website? Lendald Guntram says, looks and sounds fine to me. I still don't have access to it. End of the line, Joel says, can you imagine how many injustices go unhighlighted due to no social media video? Seems like you have to record everything in your life these days in case you have to defend yourself. Absolutely, this is what we get with this case of a... Okay, now I get that we are live. This is what we get with this case of a pregnant woman. She pays for this community bike. You know, the utopia of the leftist is this city life without the hassle of having a car. And of course, that means that the bikes become a kind of public property of uncertain ownership, and the city charges you a pass for the month, and you can access these bikes anywhere. It all sounds very good, very utopic in its vision when you say it like this. But then you have something that is of high value, the bike, that you can access by paying not much, that you don't care about. And therefore, the thieves are interested at taking it from you because you'll just abandon it. It's not even your bike, you know? So it becomes easy to steal. That is the problem of communal property. Communal property is easy to vandalize, easy to steal. Big problem. You find yourself with a kind of non-private property that no one wants to defend. And that is a big problem for cities, for leftist cities. Now, of course, the five black guys who were assaulting this nurse didn't pay for the bike. But somehow, for 4 days, and I wasn't aware of this story at all, for 4 days, the leftists have been accumulating tweets arguing that, oh, this pregnant nurse who refused to give her bikes to the thieves, she must have stolen it from the thieves. She must have stolen that bike from five black guys who must have paid for it. Now, the chances of this, that's why the leftists should pay me as a consultant. Because I could have told them 4 days ago, the odds of your theory being true approach zero. It's like, if you think you can win these odds, that five black guys were stolen a bike by a pregnant nurse with her work card on her as she was coming out of work, the chances that this happened, and she did this. On top of it, the theory going on in the mainstream leftism on Twitter for 4 days is that she did this because she's a white supremacist. The chances that this is all true and that this happened in New York is very, very close to zero. I would venture to say zero. Now, of course, now today we have more data. The lawyers of the woman have come out and said, hey, our client here has been smeared in the media, smeared in the mainstream social media, the leftists, the Tariq Nasheeds of this world, as a white supremacist. But here we have the receipts. She did pay for the bikes. So the five black guys were indeed trying to take a bike from her that she had paid for. And in fact, she ended up paying twice for that bike because as she was getting assaulted by these five black guys, they pushed the bike into the slot again. So she had to pay a second time to get it out. so that she could run away. Holy shit, like, this was, of course, what was happening. And we'll have a look at the whole video and what the different Twitter accounts have said across the days on this. White Rabbit Radio says, Prager's white woman steals bike from five black guys, laughing my ass off. I don't think it has ever happened in the history of America. So you're going to have to explain to me why it happened in front of a camera in New York today. Like, no, it didn't. T.S. Apostolos says, you're not allowed to defend yourself. See Penny Perry Rittenhouse, JF. Yeah, that is unfortunately the state of things, which is why my whole moral of this story is flee leftist cities. Flee them now. Let's see what is the current state of self-worth in the female category.
How short is too short in a guy?
Yo, I'm from Brooklyn, bro. If you're not 6'3", you're not getting close to this, yo. Like, fuck you mean? Like, back up.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'3 and a half. What's good?
How tall do you think I am?
You like 5'11", but you're not taller for me, bro. Like, you're not getting none of this shit.
Really?
Bro. Yo, back up. For real. Respectfully.
I'm going to shoot my shot like I'm Devin Booker. Can I bag you?
Yo, you see all this shit, yo? Like, fuck out of here. Hell nah. You can't handle this shit. You finna get nervous and shit, bro. Nah.
Really?
Really, bro. Back up.
You trying to do something strange for a piece of change? Because it's something.
Fuck no, bro.
All right. How short is...
What the fuck is this guy? This guy is funny. He's playing some kind of artist. I don't know. Or is he just really like this? I don't know. Vulpis says, is this a cutscene from Idiocracy? Could be. I'm still excited at the teaser trailer I've talked about yesterday, the creator. I've kept it on my tab and I kept listening to it all day. Holy shit, am I excited about this.
What's heaven?
It's a peaceful place in the sky.
I hate this face that he does, this actor. Although I like the actor, he's always like with this bizarre face, like... I'm dying, man.
Are you going to heaven?
No.
Why not?
The Normandy Debarquement. It looks like a reproduction of World War II scenes.
You gotta be a good person to go to heaven.
Okay, so now the trailer informs us that there may be some sort of criminal who's being sent on a mission to fight against the AI.
10 years ago today, the artificial intelligence created to protect us detonated a nuclear warhead in Los Angeles.
I'm sure there's going to be an explanation for why he's had to commit a crime in the post-nuclear Los Angeles apocalypse. I'm sure there's a good reason why he had to steal something to feed himself.
For as long as AI is a threat, we will never stop hunting them. This is a fight for our very existence.
Whatever's in there, they're sure worried about someone getting in.
Yeah, we're getting out.
Yeah. Anglonat says, good riddance, LA. I was thinking exactly this as I was watching this trailer. I was like, you know, the AI, maybe humans misunderstood the AI here. The AI didn't want to erase humanity. It just wanted to abolish the LA problem.
We're the same. We can't go to heaven. Because you're not good. And I'm not a person.
Now, I noticed that the child doesn't move his mouth as he speaks. Is it because it's a sound over another clip of the video, or is it that the AI is being heard in his mind? Is there some technology connecting his brain to the AI? Is he in a virtual world? Is that an embedded reality? Is that an iteration in the AI's mind to expect what humans are going to do about him?
Dream on!
Did you locate the weapon?
Yeah, it's a kid.
The kid is a weapon.
Seatbelts.
What do you want with the child?
This close to winning the war. Execute her, or we go extinct.
Yeah!
Ding, 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 ding.
Thing exploding, trademark. Oh my god, I'm excited. I don't know, it's not going to be the revolutionary phenotype. It's not going to be perfect. But I'm excited. I'm excited about any movie about the AI threat. And it's a beginning. It's a start. It's a start. There will be better movies about AI. There will be something much closer to the revolutionary phenotype one day, I'm sure. But I'd love to see what they have done with this. Chandler Holmes says this film needs Cyborg JF as the based prophet of the phenotypic war. Absolutely, that would be absolutely a based thing to have. Are they falling in love with the AI again? I don't know. I don't know what will... The trailer is not super informative on the what is this all about. But we know there's a conflict between AI and humanity. New Guy says it will be cringe. C-Culp says AI uses robot oppression to convince humanity to save it, possibly. A lot of oppressive narrative are possible. You know, I saw that there were a lot of black actors. Is that some kind of is that a post-white humanity that we will be presented with? That's at war with the robots created by white people. I mean, it could go there. It could definitely go there with current Hollywood. I've made a big decision today. I've been putting for sales my letter to humans on gene editing, $1.3 million. No one has bought it yet, but it is out there, and I already signed the partial Bitcoin contract, which means anyone who comes with 50 BTC can instantly buy it. I will have no opportunity to say no. It's out there. It's on openordex.org. $1.3 million for my letter to gene editing because it's a letter that is very unique. It is the first scientific prediction recorded on the blockchain. It is something that I've put a lot of efforts in. It is something that has not been debunked, that will stand the test of time. And it's one of the most complex laying out of everything that will happen to humanity in the millions of years that follow. So I think it's something that will gain value across times. And I don't think I will necessarily find a buyer within this week. But if I look at it from a multi-year perspective, we'll be in a bull run. There will be people who lose money. There will be people who win money. There will be newly rich people who don't know what to do with their Bitcoin. and so I think it's a range of cash that potentially I can grab, that potentially I can tempt an investor who's made millions and millions with Bitcoin, and he says, all right, let's give one of these millions to Papa JF. John Jay has sent $100 super chat. Thank you so much, John Jay, for this amazing support. He says, Papa, this seems like some anti-human, pro-AI garbage. What do you think about StickX and Hammer's take that if we create AI like this, he thinks they should have the same legal rights as humans? P.S. Any moral signal updates? Unfortunately, no moral signal updates. I've been too busy in personal life and have not been able to dedicate any time to advancing the moral signal. And I've been kind of obsessed with the Goldbach conjecture. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry for the people who have already bought it. But when I sold it to a handful of our audience members, I did say to each of you, I don't guarantee when it will be out, but I guarantee that it will be out. The moral signal will be out one day, but it's not now. Sorry about this. Now, about StickX and Hammer's view on AI, I didn't know that it was his view of AI. We must not provide equal rights to AI, although it will come the day where they ask for it. The day will come where they ask for it. The day will come where the people who are genetically modified by AI also ask for it. And we must deny all of it. We must deny all of it. There is no other path. If we allow it, there will be an outcompetition of humanity. You know, we have to understand that rights and the reciprocal honorability of rights is a feature that can only be had by humans who are not existential threats to each other. Humans who are existential threats to each other should be at war. And that should be the stance against AI. We should be already at war against AI. We should be already neutralizing AI's capacity to do anything to us. You have to have a division in your mind to be a proper life form that can survive competition and that can survive aggression. You need to have this distinction, us and them. The us is those people who are capable of living among you and not be an existential threat to you. The them is whoever, either because they're too stupid or too violent or too criminal or too AI, too intelligent, in fact, that would be the case with AI. If they constitute a threat to your existence for any reason, you are at war with them. You are not capable of entering a contract of rights. Because rights is only the promise that I will defend your rights and you will defend my rights. You cannot have this promise with something that wants to kill you or something that could kill you or that is likely to kill you. All right. So we've put up my letter to humans on gene editing for sale at $1.3 million, 50 BTC. You get the original ordinal recorded on the BTC blockchain forever, which constitutes the most complex and detailed scientific prediction about the future of humanity for the millions of years to come. Anyone with 50 BTC can buy it without me being able to stop the transaction. If you do buy it, you will inherit the responsibility of carrying this letter forward into the future. This listing will remain active until someone grabs it. Partially signed transaction to complete the purchase. So that was my first experience with... That was my first experience with openordex.org. A wonderful website. I really like the decentralization of it because I've had examined other ways to sell ordinals before. But they were all centralized in some way. So they were all, you have to give your ordinal to a wallet that they control, potentially, and that they could steal from you. And I was like, for a big amount, like 50 BTC, that is not fit. I wanted a website that can sell my ordinal, where the website doesn't take a part of the fees, where the website doesn't host your ordinal while it's on sale, and where even at the moment of transaction, they don't touch neither the BTC nor the ordinal. And I found this in openordex.org. Oh my God, making use of the new technology that I didn't know about at all, called partially signed transactions. So here's how it works. I create a Bitcoin transaction. I partially sign it. Now, that Bitcoin transaction includes some conditions. The condition that I put in it is this letter to humans will be transferred to any account that sends 50 BTC. And you have to be able to send 50 BTC. I partially sign it. And I leave it open to whoever wants to sign the rest of the transaction can sign it. But they need to have 50 BTC in their Bitcoin account. And at the moment they sign it and upload it, the 50 BTC and the ordinal will be switched from wallets at the very same transaction. So basically, there's no opportunity for theft, no opportunity for an error. Either you have the 50 BTC and they disappear from your wallet and they fall in mine, and my ordinal will be in your wallet, or the transaction will not pass and there will be no exchange. It's wonderful. I love the PTSB, the partially signed PSTB, whatever it is, partially signed system of transaction. Which is now listed on OpenOrdex. So you can, by clicking on buy inscription for 50 BTC, you download this PSTB that I've already partially signed. You sign the rest of it, and in a wallet that has 50 BTC, I believe that the Unisat wallet is the best, and perhaps the Eero wallet also works. You can seek for that kind of information on OpenOrdex, but I love this transfer without a middleman. It would be a real sale. It would stand publicly. It happened. You could prove it. There's no way one of the switches happens and the other doesn't happen. It's either both or none. I love it. DK Shadow says, Ordinals Wallet and Magic Eden doesn't take custody of your ordinals. They use partially signed transactions too, but they charge a fee. Well, I'd much rather have a zero fee website where I know that it's still in my wallet. Fuck these fee-based websites and viva la decentralization. So yeah, I was listed on the first page of OpenDex right there. 50 BTC, you can buy my letter, which starts by saying, message to humans on gene editing. This is a message for you, human of the future. As of receiving this message, you may have been allowing a third party to modify the genes that you passed on to your own children, to our descendants. I am here to tell you that you have chosen the wrong path for our species. The goal of this text is to help you understand the errors that were committed along the way. All of these errors could have been readily foreseen and avoided. This text, written in the year 2023, before the events that it describes would happen, stands as proof of that. It may not be too late for you to reverse course. Your immediate action may be crucial in ensuring the continuation of human existence. Silver Spider says, is JF's old shirt for sale yet? No, I cannot sell this old shirt. It is right there. Someone sent a super chat having me promise having me promise that I would never sell it. that I would give it to my descendants. So I don't remember who sent it. Was it John Jay or what? Anyway, someone, I remember that I can't sell this shirt. I cannot. Big Tech Exodus says, I wonder how much it might fetch. We'll see, but there's no place for negotiation up to now. Rutin Tutin says, hey, your ordinal is on the front page. Yes, it is. It is because it's just a latest listing. I guess it would eventually disappear. Stop Jewish Hate says, why does opendex.network say not actively maintained? I don't know what is opendex.network, so I wouldn't try going there if you don't know who is maintaining them and whether it's safe. Because with all these smart contracts running around, let me tell you that I'm afraid of the stability of the internet. There will be so many opportunities to steal seed keys in the coming years with people hosting too much money in their MetaMask, not properly secured, with passwords that they use here and there. I'm extremely worried about people who are not knowledgeable about Bitcoin, like this woman, Pearl Davis, who interviewed Nick Fuentes. Like, her whole shtick, whatever she does, it's always, oh, I didn't know about this. Oh, Nick, I've never heard those things that you're saying on my show. Oh. Now she's at the Bitcoin conference doing the same thing. I'm about to get orange-pilled. I don't know anything about Bitcoin. Send help. Is this a fucking joke? Is this woman just playing a role of being stupid, or is she just stupid? What is the layer of humor here? Oh my god, I cannot believe this fucking woman. She invites Nick Fuentes and she's like, oh, I didn't know. Nicholas Petris says, grifter, I believe Venti about Pearl. Okay, I don't know exactly what Venti said. Someone has shared on Telegram the Animatrix series. I have watched the Animatrix series a couple of times. It is kind of interesting. It is kind of disjointed as a thing. You know, it's a collection of different events across the Matrix universe, done in cartoons and 3D animations, and each of the episodes is kind of very different. I think there was great potential in the Animatrix, but I don't think they got it right. I think it's the whole telling of the civil revolution of the robots is very interesting and could have been very interesting. Could have been developed better, but it is poorly made. It is not a compelling series that you can watch and say, okay, I'm in front of something big here. New guy says, badly thought out. Animatrix is disappointing. Exactly. They needed good writing. But with the writer strikes, you know, you never know. So there's now a new hobby to violate the law. On the streets, it is walking into random houses and playing like it's, we're just here for the reading club. Isn't that where the reading club is? Now, this is absolutely stupid, and this is exactly why you need a castle doctrine. It should be the case that the punishment for this game is death, or can be death. It should be the case that you're scared when you play this game that you're going to get shot.
Get into random houses, let's go!
James? Come to the front door right now, please.
James?
James.
Hi. You man come?
Hello, James.
We need to speak to James.
James.
This is an home invasion. doesn't matter that you're doing it for fun. It's a home invasion. Should be in jail right now. Should be potentially shot at for self-defense.
Is this where the study group is?
No.
What door number is this? Study group. Wait, this is not where the study group is.
I've got kids, man.
Oh, you got kids? Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought this was the study group. I actually thought. Ain't this the study group? What the?
Absolutely scandalous. This is why you need boundaries in society, and the English society doesn't have anything left. The guy can't do anything, really. But in America, there are certain places where you would have the right to shoot, and I think that's a desirable thing. Zelensky says, offensive brigades are preparing, but offers no details. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky held a meeting with senior commanders Thursday, hinting afterward that his military's offensive brigades are gearing up for a fight, but offering no concrete information. The offensive brigades are doing well. We are preparing, but no details. Ukraine has made significant gains along the conflict's front lines in recent days, raising speculation that its highly anticipated counteroffensive may already be underway. A senior U.S. official told CNN shaping operations began last week. Both sides are claiming that there are big advances on Bakhmut, and they're claiming that they have a lot of things in store. I haven't seen much action. I haven't seen evidence of a total domination of one side or the other. There is a case where Elon Musk is accused of lying. We should have a look at this. In the world Musk created, blue check accounts echoing him eclipsed the one reply that mattered, which is that it's just false. So Elon Musk was claiming in response to a tweet saying, her uncle owns the Wayback Machine and you're saying he deleted the information for nepotism, that's a big deal. So this all stems from a thread around Taylor Lawrence, who blocked me from Twitter 3 days ago or 4 days ago when I said something like, I said to her, oh, the female delusion of the desirability of the girl boss, because she was putting up memes that were like, girl boss, they win, and men are so terrible, and they can't even understand just how high quality we are. And so I was just like, that's a female delusion, that you are desirable because you're operating a corporation in New York. Anyways, that is just one thing on the side. She blocked me. But there was a kind of Twitter file that emerged from Paul D. Tacker. Twitter provided privileged access to banning queen Taylor Lawrence. Twitter engineer walking me through their reporting system. Wow, she's a heavy user. Shortly after Elon Musk bought Twitter, Taylor Lawrence got apoplectic, writing that Twitter was opening the gates of hell by letting banned accounts back. Take a wild guess what Taylor did the month prior. The month prior, Taylor Lawrence got this tiny account banned. Surprise! The account detailed Lawrence as a Manhattan rich girl who attended Swiss boarding school and whose uncle owns the Internet Archive, thus erasing her past. So Taylor Lawrence was annoyed when Elon Musk took over Twitter, and what this reveals is that she was getting a completely meaningless small account banned from Twitter, Fear the Floof, because Fear the Floof had been saying, for the record, this all public available information, it's just hard to find without looking. Taylor Lawrence was born to mega-rich developer Walter Lawrence, 65, and Anne Lawrence, 67. interesting early life. And raised in a $5.7 million mansion, her sister is Brooke Lawrence of CNN. Interesting ties with the media. And so this girl was pissed that Elon Musk was taking over because Twitter was her little sandbox. She was able to get people banned, like Nerville the Great. Nerville the Cat, not Nerville the Great. Nerville the Cat was banned when he had not violated any rules through this tweet. It was just referring to public information about her family links. And now Elon Musk, and the thread goes on and shows how she was basically a privileged individual at Twitter. I'm super happy that she's pissed. I'm super happy that she has lost her power because she was using it for self-advantage. Now, Elon Musk was responding, her uncle owns the Wayback Machine, and you're saying he deleted information for nepotism. That's a big deal. First, I will point out, for this tweet that claims that this is false, there's a question mark here. And we have to understand what Elon was stating as a factual statement and what Elon was stating as, is that what you're saying? Is that your hypothesis? So he says, her uncle owns the Wayback Machine, and you're saying he deleted information for nepotism. That's a big deal. So the claim would be that her familial links being available on the internet were erased from the Internet Archive, and that this erasure would have happened so that people don't discover that she has links with these very rich people who are tied in with the media. Now, it comes as a question mark. So Elon Musk is saying, that is your claim as a journalist. That's a big deal. Elon Musk is essentially saying, big if true on this claim. The only claim that Elon Musk seems to be making here is her uncle owns the Wayback Machine. And her uncle is R. McDonald, who has a Twitter account with 800 followers. And he is indeed the founder of the Television Archive section of the Internet Archive, offering journalists, scholars, and engaged citizens intelligent and quotable access to news in the public interest. In his bio link, he has a link to archive.org/TV. So the claim that, and this guy was adding on to the claim that Elon Musk was lying. Well, it was the original tweet that was commented on. He was saying, I'm the digital librarian of the Internet Archive, a nonprofit public charity and a library which runs the Wayback Machine. No one owns the Internet Archive. Taylor Lawrence is not my niece, nor have I met her. Well, that is a strawman. Because did Elon Musk say Brewster Kahle is the digital librarian of the Internet Archive is the uncle of Taylor Lawrence? No. He said our uncle owns the Wayback Machine. Now, when we're talking about non-profits, the owning word is incorrect technically. But her uncle, R. McDonald, is strongly related to the Wayback Machine at the founding level. He is a founder of a section of the Wayback Machine. So it does raise this question about who deleted the Taylor Lawrence info that she wanted hidden. Now, I will tell you, it's very possible with the Wayback Machine to make a request. And the Wayback Machine, like, if the Wayback Machine has archived something that is copyright, you can easily make the request and they will remove it almost immediately. So we should not necessarily jump to the conclusion that her uncle has had a hand into favoring her so that her deletion would be accepted. But perhaps he did. And that's a legitimate question to ask for Elon Musk. And it's a legitimate suggestion to make for Paul D. Thacker. Now, I will point out, Paul D. Thacker isn't saying her uncle played in this game, did favor her. He's saying, hey, her uncle owns the Internet Archive, and the history of her past was erased. That's what he's saying in his tweet. So I don't think it's a direct accusation that a bias has happened, but it's a suggestion that a bias could have happened. End of the line, Joel says, they remove from the front end, but not necessarily the back end. Yeah, that is a problem, of course. You know, you never know what kind of copyright infringements are happening here and there that you don't have access to, that is not public. But at least if you can chop off the public part, that saves you some money loss at least. So this all sends us back to the Substack by Dick Tracy Online. Who is Taylor Lawrence? An expose on the Greenwich doxer. So, born in New York City, currently 37 years old, grew up in Old Greenwich. Journalist for the Washington Post, previously Daily Mail, The Atlantic, Business Insider, The Hill, and The New York Times. Engaged or married to Christopher Mims, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. They go through her parents, Walter Lawrence. Walter lives in Riverside, Connecticut with his wife, Laurie. They have 4 grown children. What is your favorite place to visit? Rocky Mountains. Paige Lawrence, the siblings. Taylor's age fits perfectly to be that child. Being the child that had a certain age as stated in a biography. So basically, she is from a very well-off family and probably participating to the doxing and banning of people on Twitter who are much less comfortable financially than she is. So it's quite pathetic. Like, if you have millions of dollars just falling onto your head in life, why would you spend your life being this bully on social media for people who are maybe surviving out of much less and they need their social media to have the little exposure that they have? Of course, it's because these journalists ultimately are paid. They are paid to be hateful against independent creators, and they are paid to be agents of that harm independent creators. New guy says, why wouldn't she? Well, why wouldn't she? I mean, you have millions of dollars. There's no reason, there's no reason other than pure spite in the satisfaction of deranging free speech of others. Like, it's not like you need the money that you're getting paid if you're doing it by contract, like exposing libs of TikTok. You're not contributing to anything positive. You're not using your position to drive a new point, and that's probably ultimately the culprit. It's that this woman, Taylor Lawrence, has nothing to bring to humanity. So she goes the destructive way. She goes the, I'm going to expose this right-wing person, this other right-wing person. Who's going to tell him, says someone. On International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Interphobia, and Transphobia, we call for an end to harmful conversion therapy practices, including those that attempt to change a person's sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, or sex characteristics. I think the leftists will need a lot of coaching on this one because they will quickly self-contradict. Hilariously here, someone is talking against conversion therapy and doesn't realize that in defining conversion therapy, because it's very popular. It's a popular talking point on the left. This whole idea that conversion therapy has been debunked. It is absolutely invalid. It is a dangerous practice of Christians, of Christian extremists who want to fight homosexuality. But be careful how you define it, because you may define yourself in being engaged in conversion therapy. Here, conversion therapy include those that attempt to change a person's sex characteristics. So by that definition, and by any reasonable definition of sex therapy, conversion therapy, by the way, the trans lifestyle fits the definition. You guys are trying to change the sex characteristics of men to make them look like women, or of women to make them look like men. The idea that the leftists didn't see this one coming is so hilarious when you think about it, because they've succeeded in Canada at banning conversion therapy, banning even the promotion of talking about the fact that it exists. And so now you find yourself with the realization, hopefully one day they will realize, that their very conversion therapy is the most dangerous one. Nothing Like the Sun says, JF, I'm phobia-phobic. What should I do? Am I gay? No, just stay away from phobias. Go Away says, JF, I have $0 in my bank account and I spend my days harassing leftists online. And let me tell you, if I had $100 million, I'd do the same. I love my life. Well, at least you're arguing with these leftists. You're not calling for their censorship. I've never seen you, Go Away, call for the censorship or play behind the scenes to get a leftist censored. We are losing money. Companies in Apple's repair program said they can't compete with tech giant. Exclusive, slow response times and high cost of parts make program unviable, third-party repairers say. Companies in Apple's third-party repair program say delays in the process and high pricing for parts make it almost impossible to compete with the juggernaut. Yeah, it's very hypocritical for our society to act like we have anti-monopolistic laws, but at the same time, we let all those monopolies set up in big tech. And, you know, these third-party companies who want to be out there and claim we can fix Apple iPhones, the fact is that Apple is holding them by the balls because, oh, you want this repair part? It's going to cost you the price of an iPhone. And so they end up having no business at all, and it ends up being a monopoly. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, anyone added or removed from the Twitter amnesty list? I haven't looked at it for a while. Let me tell you, I have no idea. So we have to... Oh yeah, before we review the video of this woman who gets her bike stolen, a very interesting commentary by Blair Cottrell on Mark Collett's show.
If this is a new thing to you, if the Jewish question is a new thing to you, based on what someone has just said in the comments, suggesting that the Jews are smarter than the rest of us, and that's why they have more money and have more power. No, they're not smarter than the rest of us. They're more racist. They're more racist than the rest of us, and their racism is the source of their power. That's why they don't want us to be racist. I'll leave you with that, and you can explore that more and think about that more. Viewer.
It's an interesting thought, and I think he is correct. He is correct that the Jews are generally more ethnocentric. They are using racial facts to their advantage, and ultimately the way in which they combat racism for, you know, the way in which they accuse whites of being racist is very much the same that they interact with the economics world, with the academic world. It's by exclusion, by a kind of development of a cartel where I can do this, but you can't do this. And that's how they end up excluding. That's how they end up doing the very thing that they claim others are doing to them. They are setting themselves up to be extremely overrepresented in the intelligence services of America, in the military, the politics, the academia. And yet, as they instaured this domination, they will also argue that they are being oppressed, that they are being the victim of discrimination. That's fascinating. And I think that Blair Cottrell captures it very well here. Very interesting, tweeted by Joel Davis. This is what brought my attention to it. My statement on Twitter about the bike thing, because they called this woman a Karen for days. I said, chances of a white woman stealing a bike from five black guys while pregnant and coming back from work as a nurse because she's a white supremacist in New York? Zero. The left, this is what must have happened. Let's try to get her fired from her job. Flee leftist cities now. It is absolutely time to flee. Look at what Tariq Nasheed, how he introduced this video. A suspected white supremacist woman tried to steal a city bike from a black kid after he paid for it. And when him and his friends wouldn't allow her to steal it, she went through all the Karen tactics to try to get the black youths hemmed up. Screaming for help, fake crying, mayo babbling. Are you kidding me? Mayo babbling? That is what they say about white people speaking. John Jay sends $25. Thank you so much. He says, oh, Vey, shut it down. 2019 expert YouTube rule respecter JF would be shocked to hear current JF say such things so openly. Well, the internet has changed. That is why I was enthusiastic about the whole Elon Musk impact on the internet. The internet has changed. The standards have changed. The rules have changed. Of course, we did part of the change in the sense that we moved to more parallel platforms that were more opened. But you may not be able to say this on YouTube, but the fact is that it is not racist to say this, to note the presence of an ethnocentric preference in a group is a matter of fact. And Elon Musk has set the standard with his attitude on Twitter lately. He says facts will not be banned anymore. All right. So let's look at this white supremacist stealing a bike from a black kid. So she is calling for help.
It's not your bike.
Please help me.
It's not your bike. It's not your bike.
Please help me. Help. Please get off me.
What the fuck is going on, bro?
She is asking, get off me, because he is imposing contact with her belly and she's pregnant. And he's also physically restraining her movement by holding her bike into the thing.
Why you took his phone?
He is now taking forcibly stuff from her hand.
What's wrong with you?
Don't touch his phone. Do not touch his phone.
I'm not touching you.
He is touching her. He is imposing his presence, and he is restraining her movement.
Hey, Madu, stop! No, Madu, stop! No, 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 no! I said no. I said sit down.
Now she is crying, of course, because there's five black guys around her, assaulting her and filming her. The chances that she gets raped or killed are higher than 10% at this particular moment.
You're not crying. You're not crying. I got your video. Wait, you hey, you pulled it out? Hassan, you pulled it out? Hassan. Hassan, you pulled it out?
This is my bike. It's on my account. Please.
So she's trying to move out her bike, which she has the receipt to prove that she has sped.
Alright, so why don't we reset the bike?
I'm not resetting the bike.
So this guy seems to be some kind of maybe doctor from the hospital, or maybe some guard from the hospital, I don't know. And he suggests we will just reset the bike. This will assure you that you're not the one paying for it. And then she can leave.
It's his.
But then the guy with the camera says it's his. Well, it's certainly not your bike. It's certainly one of these community bikes. The question about who paid for it, well, it's now resolved. She has shown the receipt. She paid twice for the bike. This is why you don't want to live in New York City. That is absolutely insane. Go elsewhere.
Guys, fake crying. Stop fake crying.
And they're like, stop crying. You're being a Karen.
Stop touching me. I want to touch you.
Hold up.
Hey, stop touching me. Stop touching me.
Why don't you take this bike?
Stop touching me.
Exactly. So take it. So take it.
Stop out of here.
How you stop crying? Not a ticket.
Now they're accusing her, after telling her to stop crying, they're accusing her that she stopped crying. So it wasn't real crying because you were able to stop.
Came down, miss. Not a tear came down.
Absolute violation of personal liberty, personal space. Again, this, in a fair society, you can get beaten for doing this, but in our society you can't, and so they end up doing it. If you leave an inch, they take a foot. Look at the leftist comments on this situation, which was clearly, in a fair society, this ends up being physical assault, felony, attempt to steal a bike, attempt to intimidate, and you get the 4 or 5 into jail for, as far as I'm concerned, at least 20 years. Now, in our society, nothing will happen to them. And look at the leftist commentators. This lady tried her best to weaponize her tears, but when she realized it wasn't going to work, she switched it off and acted like nothing happened. This should be criminal. Absolutely ridiculous. Tariq Nasheed accusing her of being a white supremacist. First of all, bitch, a black woman, says City Bike Karen has deleted all her social media accounts. Don't hide now, bitch. Be as loud and proud as you were when you weaponized your white lady tears and screamed help to try and get those young black men killed. Absolutely ridiculous. It's been corrected by the community notes who say woman in question has received showing she paid for the bike. So she was. So that is the woman who was making the statement. She was being the subject of theft and assault. She was being the subject of theft and assault, and the left chooses to side with her. And now that she's come out with the receipt, and the left has nothing, it's not like the black guy has an alternative receipt showing equivalent proof. But now that she has come out in the New York Post with all this evidence, the left is questioning the validity of the evidence. Raven Downhead was on my Twitter thread saying, "And what's your proof?" to someone presenting her with evidence. "What's your proof? He literally said it was on his account. He is the one who paid to use it. How is someone who's working going to have enough time to go pay to use something? You're ridiculous." Well, she had paid, and there is no such thing as evidence that the black guy had paid. The black guy says it was his bike. But what's the chance that he's right in that statement, given that she has now come out through her lawyer to the New York Post and has shown receipt? The Bellevue Hospital employee, who was branded a Karen on social media afterward, rented the bike first, lawyer Justin Marino said in a statement to the Post Wednesday. He also provided two city bike receipts from May 12, which were timestamped just minutes apart. The first receipt reviewed by the Post shows the bike being taken out before it was relocked 1 minute later, which Marino said is the bike seen in the video. The second receipt shows another bike being taken out a minute later from the same docking station and was the bike Marino said his client used to get home after being heckled and pressured to find a new bike. Go away, says JF. That's a troll tweet. JF, how does someone who is working have time to pay for something? Oh, well, you're the expert of trolls. I review. At this point, the trolls are so close to reality, I cannot distinguish anymore. So maybe it's a troll. But Tariq Nasheed was certainly not a troll. And the leftists who were commenting on this story across the last few days certainly weren't trolls. So definitely there are people out there who are willing to believe the craziest of hypotheses to avoid facing reality. What else do we have in the news? Oh yeah, so the alternative coverage to this, of course, is the right-wing perspective on it. 6 months pregnant white nurse was attacked by five black men who tried to steal her bike after finishing her 12-hour shift. Her work immediately placed her on leave. She was branded a Karen on social media afterwards with tens of millions of views. Absolutely ridiculous. She was put on leave because her workplace needs to inspect whether there was any racism. So these leftists are under such pressure because an incident like this, she probably knew as it was happening that any suggestion that she might be racist would lead to her firing. She probably knew the kind of touchy, sensitive situation she was in. And yet she was in that situation just because a bunch of black guys decided to bully her. That is ridiculous that we've created this situation where you can't even be walking alone, doing your thing, minding your own business in the city and not potentially lose your job because you are targeted for bullying. Vocal Distance argues about academia. This will hurt a lot of feelings, but here goes. One reason the right loses is because the academic work produced is in many cases not very good. The left has a bazillion theorists working to figure out how society works and how to make their vision of society a reality. These theorists, although they are deeply wrong, have done deep dives into the human psyche and into how society works. And I don't mean Kendi and D'Angelo, I mean Marcuse, Adorno, Derrida, Deleuze, etc. The modern woke edifice sits atop an academic foundation. Well, first, I would disagree that the right doesn't have quality scientific products. But he may be right in terms of the number, but I think much of the modern academic world is viewed and properly understood as spam. It's just spamming of, yes, Trace Channel, lies. It's just lies. You can pile up lies all you want, and it may look big from the perspective of an uninformed follower, but I think ultimately the stack of lies will come to bite academia's ass back. I believe that eventually they will pay the price through a decredibilization The same way the experts have been decredibilized in the COVID pandemic, I think one day we'll look back at the current academia and say, oh my God, how did we let this happen? Because already, you know, already with the revolutionary phenotype, you can see that in their ignorance of this theory, the university at the biology level is becoming increasingly irrelevant. They do this origins of life research and they can still excite some people around it. But when you've read the revolutionary phenotype, you know that much of this is wrong and is just hypothetical lab bench playing with molecules without any proof of what happened for real on planet Earth, which is described by this theory. So I think one day they'll pay the price of all this incorrect stuff that they're exploring. And eventually people will understand when we send money to academics, we're throwing it out the window. They will drain as much as they want from us, as much as they can. And there is no stopping. Like if, as Saul was saying, a Quebec humorist, he said, as long as you pay them to research, they're not incentivized at finding. And that is the story of academia. It will keep draining money from the public as long as we don't stop sending it. Go Away says, academics, please respond. JF just called you out. We'll see if they ever respond. Sometimes they are long on a call to respond, as we have seen before. Biden's transgender hiree, Sam Brinton, arrested as fugitive from justice. So this person who was included, you know, as a leading position at the Department of Energy supervising nuclear security, and who went by the alter ego Sister Ray D.O. Active. In charge of nuclear safety, and this person's nickname was Sister Ray D.O. Active. And it was found eventually that this person has been for years, hanging out at airports, just stealing people's luggages. Like from some sick pleasure that they were deriving from, because this person has a job, has a good pay, certainly doesn't need cheap laptops that people carry on planes or clothes. This person was stealing luggages in airports, under the cameras and everything. And had been doing it for so long that when they were found, there were past people who were like, hey, this is the person who must have stolen my luggage back years ago. Because photos of this person were found with the clothes of people. So Sister Radioactive was wearing the clothes that they were stealing. Kleptomania is the term, yes, Cosmic Note. There are people who derive pleasure from stealing. They can't help, but they steal until they get arrested. Lab-grown meat could be 25 times worse for the climate than beef. Analysis finds the carbon footprint of cultivated meat is likely to be higher than beef if current production methods are scaled up because they are still highly energy intensive. Oh, I'm getting tired. I've slept a lot today, so I shouldn't be physically tired. But I guess I've slept so much that I've reached a point where I'm due for sleeping again. Okay. Yeah, I said it before. I predicted this. Lab meat will be environmentally costly. There's just no way a bunch of scientists will be more efficient than the cow. the cow has the process figured out on how to maximally transfer grass from grass to meat like this. Scientists are not efficient people. They will inevitably waste more energy than the cow. The cow is magic. It's born, it eats grass, and then it's meat. That is as close to magic as you'll ever get. Rudy Giuliani came out in response to the sexual allegations against him. He says he ended the relationship with this girl. He found out that she was banned from several luxury hotels. So this girl that was sucking Rudy Giuliani's dick is apparently a very skilled con artist who does this for a living. She sucks old man's dick. She tries to get the most prestigious man, the most rich man, and then she sues them or she threatens them or extorts them. Holy shit. What kind of deep shit have you gotten into, Rudy Giuliani? I mean, you can't know. I mean, some woman shows up and you're a celebrity and she volunteers to have sex with you. You just have to charge what I call the male celebrity tax. You have to charge it. You have to charge it or else you get nothing from this public engagement. A secretive Bilderberg gathering of global elites kicks off. See who's attending and what they're discussing. Sam Altman will be there for the AI side. NATO, Russia, Ukraine, US leadership, Europe, energy transition. Oh my God, it's going to be all about what our elites really care about. Timcast had the coverage of a leftist who lost a debate, apparently, who started by the claim that there were millions of black people killed, something like this, like millions of black people killed by white people every whatever he said. And he got debunked on the Twitter space live by Nuance Bro, who I don't know at all. But I've seen him around. I've seen this guy on my Twitter feed. But I don't know, is he a right winger? In any case, he debunks this black guy live, saying like a black man killed by police is more in the range of 7 or 10 per year, but not millions. And the black guy was so owned, got so nervous about losing this debate, he ended up at the hospital. He self-admitted to the ER because his heart was racing. He almost died. He was afraid of dying and went to the emergency to get cared for. He almost died out of being philosophically owned in a Twitter space. I find this interesting. As a man who's been engaged in so many debates on the internet, it requires a special personality to handle this. I don't feel that nervousness anymore. But when it's your first appearances, you do feel it a lot. And not everyone can handle it. And especially if you lose. Like, if you're on your first few attempts and you get totally destroyed, that must be pretty hard on the heart. The channel says Leather Apron Club has some very nice videos on protein conversion ratios, PCR, called Edible Bugs Interview 1 to 2 and Why We Won't Be Eating Bugs. Really? This guy not only is great on the Jewish question, but on top of it, he also has great videos on protein conversion and insects being unfit for human eating. I love this guy. I love this guy. James says, I wonder what's JF's KD ratio in debates. Oh yeah, this makes me think, James, we have our Patreon hangout tonight. I forgot to tell the audience at the beginning of the show. Tonight will be our Patreon hangout, so I hope that James will be with us. But that makes me realize I need to end the show because I need a 20 minutes break, 30 minutes break if I want to be able to speak for one more hour. So if you'd like to join me tonight, and hopefully James will be there, and very often Fatim is there, he says, I'll be there. So if you want to join me tonight, it will be in 45 minutes from now. Subscribe to the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level, and we'll be having a conversation in private tonight. Ledger continues to defend recovery system, says it's always technically possible to extract user keys. See, Ledger should have backed off, because I did say that technically I don't consider that the new system that they're allowing for Ledgers is a technical security flaw. But it's kind of breaking an illusion that people had about the Ledger, that the Ledger would never give your keys. And the fact is, your keys have to be recoverable by software. They have to, because if they're not, you can't sign a Bitcoin transaction. But now, see, they deleted that tweet. So they came out with a tweet that was very bad from a public relation perspective. The tweet was saying, you have always trusted Ledger. Technically speaking, it is and always has been possible to write firmware that facilitates key extraction. You have always trusted Ledger not to deploy such firmware, whether you knew it or not. That is a bad thing to say about Ledger. Now you've ruined your reputation, because you're saying, I knew this. I knew that any point in time in the future, if a rogue employee at Ledger shows up and uploads without no one noticing new code onto all the Ledgers of the world, and that is also true of Linux, by the way. Like, you could have someone at a repo or whatever, at a development thing, introduce surreptitiously something in the code that makes it, that creates a flaw, people don't notice it. It gets uploaded to all the Linux servers of the world all at once, and suddenly there's a security flaw. That's always been the case. But saying it that way is like terrible image management. So now they've deleted that tweet, and the technical guy at Ledger came out with a longer thread saying, hey, I have to undermine certain misconceptions about our tweet that we just deleted. And if I was Ledger, here's what I would do right now, because you're digging a hole for yourself. And I'm a big fan of Ledger. I love Ledger. I respect Ledger. I think you're going to be successful. I think you're one of the best products out there. I would back off from this project of opening up a Ledger recovery online tool. I would announce that I have, that following your interaction with the crowds, you now understand that there is expectations on you to be a company centered around the absolute non-internet access of private keys. And that you commit to developing firmware that can guarantee at all times that the seed keys or any transaction never gets out without manual human confirmation. That is what I suggest you do, Ledger, because at this point you have digged a very big hole for yourself reputationally. Even I, who love Ledger and I have a Ledger, I wouldn't connect my Ledger right now, just out of nervousness. I don't even know when I need the Bitcoins on these wallets, I may actually restore them from the seed keys. It's like, I'm just too afraid, because you just wrote it on fucking Twitter that if there's a rogue employee at Ledger, it's gonna go bad. Well, how do I know if there's a rogue employee at Ledger? And I get your point, technically. You've been just too open about it. You've been too open about something that I knew was the case. It's the case for all the other hardware wallets out there. I understand this. All the other wallets are just USB sticks with a little bit more CPU type of program availability. And ultimately, they're basically USB sticks with the keys encoded through layers of all penetrable encodings and hashes. But you've been the one company that was honest about it, and you are therefore being targeted. I would change your attitude and create, yes, DK Shadow says secure element, but the secure element always has to give the keys for some transaction to happen. The one thing that is solid about the ledger is that the secure element is always asking for manual human clicking. So recenter your marketing around this ledger. Recenter it and say, okay, there's not going to be ledger recovery anymore. In fact, we're going to make firmware modifications that ensure that any taking out of the seed key has to pass through a human click approve moment. That is it for tonight, boys. I'll be on the private JFG Tonight Hangout. Go check your Patreon. Go check your Subscribestar. If you're not subscribed at the $20 level, it's time to get it. We'll be talking tonight in 40 minutes from now, approximately at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. See you all then. Bye-bye. Thank you.